Spirit to work on each and every one of us, to help us to understand and to realize all this demonic teaching out there, false teachers, and may you deal with them and commit to you each and everyone who's listening to be blessed. And thank you. We commit to you this time. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. That's my buddy. You got me? Perfect. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
And Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. All right. We want to say, where's Ryan? They're down there with, let me think. Let me just think of what I got to do first. I want to, first of all, thank a young lady by the name of Connie. I think she's in England. I think she's in London. Yeah, I think so. And she sent me a video the other day of a guy being interviewed on a show called Deep Believers, which is a young lady named Jennifer. Now, I asked Jennifer to please take the video down and disassociate herself from these people. But I'll see if she does. I would love for Deep Believers or Jennifer to contact me. I left her my contact information. And let me come on the show and disprove what this guy was sitting there trying to preach to them and teach them. And it was really a lot of foolishness, but if you don't know the Bible, it almost sounds amazing, you know, like 14 years of tribulation. Really? We never heard this before, because it's not in the Bible. That's why you never heard it before, okay? And so she was really taken by this guy's pseudo intellect of knowing the Bible and coming up with different revelations that he perceived that God, he doesn't perceive it. I know what he is. He's thinking that, oh, God gave me these revelations that have only been, they've been held back to the very end to let us know, you know? And so Deep Believers and Jennifer, I just challenge her to allow me to come on that show and so we can disprove the foolishness of this guy. And the guy's name, I don't know if it's here, but it's called The End Time Reveal. Oh, his name is Alan. His name is Alan Dubreuil, I guess. It sounds like French. Alan Dubreuil, since I was in Montreal before. Then, so he has this book out that he's called The End Time Revealed, okay? And what he's preaching is that there are going to be three raptures, and that Revelation chapter 7 is the rapture of the sleeping church, and then there's another rapture before, and then there's going to be another rapture after, and all of this stuff that he's teaching, I mean, it really is a lot of foolishness. And then, so, Connie, she it was late in London, I guess, and she said, the Lord won't let me let it go. So she started sending me more information. So this guy who has this End Time Revealed also has a GoFundMe page for Ministry Revealed so he can raise money to help educate people into tribulation. So he's got like $11,375 on his GoFundMe page. And they're called the 14ers. And I was just informed that Sword of God is also teaching this ridiculous doctrine called 14ers. And now this guy's teaching also three raptures, and it's the structure that he's teaching it is just so bad that it's just some of the worst teaching I've ever seen, and I was just amazed that someone would give him airtime. Okay, now listen to this as well. Someone bought the book. I have a book, and I'm not interested in selling it. If I feel somebody needs to read it, I'll give it to them, or I can PDF it to them. But this guy has this book out, and so in your books, you have reviews. People will read the book, and then they will review it, okay? So someone reviewed the book, and they said, please be aware. The author also teaches on his forum YouTube channel, Ministry Reveal, that the scriptures have revealed to him that God the Father will sacrifice Jesus again by beheading at the end, because once was not enough for the sins of all. Okay, so his death was not enough to cover the sins of all, so he's going to have to die again. And then it says, this is what they say, Pastor Ben, he died for the many, but not for all. The many being the church, but he didn't die for all people, so he's going to come back in the tribulation, and he's going to die for all, okay? And he says his followers do not push back on this because he will not debate it. He just tells them to blindly follow him. You are removed if you argue that Jesus died once for all.
Wow.
They will remove you from the site if you said, no, Jesus died once for all. No, he didn't. He's got to come back and die again. So on top of 14 years of tribulation, which no one has ever preached till, you know, we're getting toward the end of this, and all the other amazing, ridiculous revelations he was speaking on this channel. And I just, you know, I'm praying for Jennifer because it seems like she's a nice person, but she's amazed. So that means she doesn't know the Bible well. You know, she knows the things that keeps her on fire for God, but she doesn't know especially the integral things of end time prophecy that you have to know. Okay. And so, he has set many dates and nothing has happened. He just keeps on with them with no apologies. Study the scriptures for yourself. Let the Lord reveal to you. Do not follow this man. Okay. So I said, well, let me read some other. Okay. I did this right here. Pastor Ben. I put the Ministry Reveal GoFundMe page. 11 grand I get for teaching lies. Okay, because I need money to help. That's what the thing said, to help people in the tribulation hear the gospel. So you can also help if you go fund me. All right, now, because, I mean, these people have no shame. So then now, this Alain Dubéville, however you say in French, and it says, this one says, it starts out with preacher of false doctrine. Beware. This is another guy that read the book. Preaches false gospel, does not rightly divide the word, does not understand dispensation, and fails to understand simple ABCs of salvation. That was another guy, GNC, wrote that, okay? Then another guy reviewed the book, and he says, this man is so off the wall, he is teaching from forms of gap theory with New Age mixed into weave a story of two creations, not one, picking and choosing scriptures now to put together what he wants, totally out of context and understanding. He is a sensationalism. He is all sensationalism now, trying to still remain relevant now that his date setting has failed. Please shut him off. He is confusing people and leading them astray at this last time. Beware, okay? Then Thomas C. Harvey writes, throw your faith in Jesus away if you believe the theory of this rambling book. So everybody, people are reading it and going, this is ridiculous, right? So what would make someone have this guy just on their show and amazed at his teeth? Because let me tell you something, it's not her fault. Right. Satan knows the Bible. Right. And see, sometimes people are lying and I think they just don't know the Bible, but I listen to him. He's very clever in mixing little confusions, foolishness, and then he'll come up with a theory and it sounds amazing, but it's easily disprovable, okay? So he's doing all of this, and I'm just saying, if anyone is talking about a 14-year tribulation, they are being a fool for Satan.
Right.
There's no 14 years of tribulation, and his theory on Revelation chapter 7 is so far off, I would just think that God was just sitting there going, this is just a mess. Because God made sure that I heard it and I sat and watched it, because I wouldn't have, if Connie didn't send it to me, I wouldn't have never watched the 14, as I already thought nobody would believe this. Yeah, I remember it came out. I was like, okay, this, hey, 14ers, are you ready? And I'm like, what the heck is this? You guys, I'm going to whether she let me on her show or not, I'm going to do something and disprove the foolishness of what this guy was saying, okay? Yeah. Because it really is foolishness, okay? And the fact that he's teaching that Jesus has to come back and die again, I just thought, wow, he has no shame. And so them 14ers and Sword of God, if you're 14ers too, shame on you. Get back in your Bible. Or I'll send you information. You can learn the proper way of studying the Word of God.
Amen.
Whew! Praise God. I think that's all I have to say on that. Okay. Tonight, we have to learn something very important. Did you put the title up today, Pastor Ben?
I did.
What's the title?
Title is...
Did you take my picture?
She did.
She did?
She did.
You took a secret picture? Ooh.
The end time season 5782.
All right. So
the great end time
season. The great end time season 5782. 5782. When did 5782 start? Do you guys know? September of last year. When does 5782 end?
September
of this year, okay? So, 5782 has half of 2021 and half of 2022. You understand? So both years are mixed into it because they're going September to September, whereas the Gregorian calendar would be like January or whatever. So you have to know and understand that 5782 and the prophecy that we received from 5782 and how powerful that prophecy was, and we'll go over it at the end, why it's still relevant to today and why it's still relevant until September of this coming year, okay? Now, to explain this to you, so someone say, well, why are we going by the Jewish calendar? Why aren't we going by the Gregorian calendar? Do you think God is celebrating New Year's with the Hebrews when they have a new year? Do they say, when they say Rosh Hashanah, do you think God says, okay, it's their new year, right? Or does God say, no, it's not your new year until Nisan? For God is Nisan. Do you think God knew that they would keep counting that year? Yes, okay? So I wanna show you something in scripture that proves to you that God knows both calendars, okay? And this will be simple, but it's one of those things that's in the Bible that no matter how ingenious you are and how many PhDs you have, you still can't figure out how God did this, okay? So, are you on page 4? Let's go page 4. Okay, good deal. Okay, Esther chapter 9, verse 11. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan, the citadel, was brought to the king. Verse 12, And the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men of Shushan, the citadel, and the 10 sons of Haman. Okay? What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? He's asking Queen Esther, what is your petition? She says, it shall be granted to, he said, whatever, he says, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done. Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are at Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Okay? Verse 14. So the king commanded this to be done, and the decree was issued in Shushan, and they hung Haman's 10 sons. Okay? Now, Haman's objective was that he was going to kill every Jew, right? But he ended up getting killed himself, and his 10 sons ended up being hung on the gallows that he built. Okay? So, if you look down, it says Esther 9, chapter 9, verse 7 and 9, it says, we find a list of 10 of Haman's sons who were killed by the Jews. Below, the Hebrew text of these verses appears in the Tanakh. Now, they give you the name of the first son, and I'm not going to say it, but you can see that in his name, and it's written like this in the original Hebrew. One of the letters is much smaller than the rest of the letters. You see that? Then it gives you the second son's name, the third son's name, the fourth son's name, the fifth son's name, the sixth son's name. The seventh son, it has another letter that's much smaller than the normal size letters. Okay? Then you have the eighth, and then the ninth, and then the tenth. You'll see another letter that is much smaller than the rest of the letters. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay, now, this is what you call, what Jesus says, every jot and tittle, okay? This the Bible will not be complete, or prophecy will not be complete until what? Every jot and tittle is fulfilled, okay? This is a jot and tittle because it is a prophecy, okay? Because someone was trying to kill all the Jews. They ended up dying themselves. Then their 10 sons got killed. Now you have another person come upon the world scene, and he's trying to kill every Jew. And his name is Hitler. And so after 1945, when the invasion came in, Hitler, they say he committed suicide. I don't know how he died, but he dies. Then after he dies and they gather up all the Jews, they grab his 10 of his top henchmen and they put them on trial for war crimes. Okay? There was actually 11, but the night they were going to get hung, one of them committed suicide, so he didn't get hung. So it ended up being 10 being hung. Okay? Because God, this is the Nuremberg trials, okay? So, now, I'm going to go to the board for a second, okay? Remember. Now, watch this. The letters that are written small are these. Tav, Shin, Zion. 400, 700, I mean 400, 300, and 7. So that's 7707, okay? There's another letter, and it's not written on here, that's bigger, that tells you that it's going to be 5707, okay? Now, so 5707 would be the year 1947, okay? Now, the Nuremberg trials happened in October of 1946. So it would have been what? 5706, right? In 1946. But when does the Hebrew year change? September becomes Tishri, becomes Rosh Hashanah, and then you have a new year. So then that makes that, since it was in October, it's not 5706, now it's going to turn to 5707, because it's going to change in September from 5706, 1946, to 5707. And so now it equals out to the prophecy that in 5707 is when the hanging's going to happen. So you see how if they would have hung him before, the prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. If they had got hung before September, it wouldn't have been fulfilled. But since it was after Rosh Hashanah, it turned from 5706 to 5707, and now it's October 1946. But now it's 5707, they get hung, the 10 sons get hung. And then now, the question is, if God put this prophecy in there, he knows both calendars. You understand? So you don't have to say, well, does God recognize the other calendar? God prophesied using the other calendar. He knew that they would not obey him in what he told them to do. They would keep starting theirs. They have a civil calendar and they have an agricultural calendar. So they call the agricultural calendar Nisan, but they say the silver calendar is Tishri, and we're going to keep up with that and not do what God said by starting at Nisan, right? So God knew. So don't say 5782. Why would God even use their calendar? God always already knew that they would continue using the calendar. So therefore, since we're in 5782, does God know that 5782 would consist of both 2021 and 2022?
Yes.
But they have to be divided, okay? So you're dividing it, but is both 2021, but 5782 is also in 2022, okay? So guys understand that? Because that's very important for us to know and understand. Because of this, let's go to page 6. Okay, I was trying to figure out what made me start studying this. What made me start studying this was because a guy was trying to put out a video that said 5782 prophecy. And he did half of the Bible study, and then he cut it off. Nasher and his wife were here this past week, and he said, yeah, the guy cut it off. That made me so mad. So the guy cut it off in the middle because he wanted to sell the second half of the knowledge, right? So I guess God charged him, so he wanted to get his money back. Crazy. So he gives you half of the prophecy. It's like, Jesus is coming. And then I say, and pay me $200 and I'll tell you the rest. And he's like, oh, he's going to die on the cross. Thanks for the $200. And he's going to cover your sins. So I'm telling you the rest, but only after you pay me $200. So that was the guy. So I was so mad that I said, I know the prophecy. This prophecy I was already teaching 3 years ago. So I said, well, let me teach it. So the prophecy was this. The year of Israel's birth, 57, 5708, what is it, 5708, 1948, right? Yeah, 5708 in Deuteronomy is the 5708 verse of the Bible is the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And I'm saying before the canonization of the scriptures, okay? So God had the Torah, the original Torah, to place the rebirth of Israel as the 5708 verse of the Bible, which is 1948. Yes. So what does that tell you? God knows both calendars, okay? He knew that the 5708 verse of the Bible would would be a verse telling you about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So since he knows that, okay, and he put it in Deuteronomy, that means he knows that in the future they're still going to use this calendar, okay? So 5708 is 1948, but now he puts the rebirth of the nation of Israel in the 19th, after the canonization, he puts it in the 19th book in the 48th chapter. So that means God knows that 5708 is going to be 1948. Same event happens, right? So I want you to know and understand that God knows both calendars, yeah. Okay? Now, so we begin this count, and we see the numerical value of amount of scriptures that's in Genesis, that's in Exodus, that's in Leviticus, that's in Numbers, and that's in and that is in Deuteronomy 959. Then we added them all up, and we got the number that it was. Okay. Now, after I did this, we weren't getting much more prophecy other than the fact that Israel's birth, okay? Then we were talking about a verse being missing in one of the chapters, okay? And when we found the one verse that was missing, we realized that Numbers has 1,289 verses and not 1,288. So then when we did that, we said, okay, so now we're looking at the fact that now the numbers are starting to match, okay? So once we get 4,894, and then we subtract 4,894, which is the numerical value of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Once we had that number, then we subtracted this year, 5782, and it gave us 888. And we thought, that's kind of peculiar, right? I mean, you subtract this year from the first four books of the Bible, and you get Jesus, okay? So that kind of hit us, me and my friend Kevin, okay? So then he says, well, if you just take Deuteronomy by itself, and which is 959 verses, and subtract 888, you get 71. And he says, but I don't know what that means. Do I know what it means?
Yeah.
As a Hebrew student, I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the dove. And I'm like, okay, the first one we got Jesus. The second one we get the dove. And then I'm going, okay, well, let's continue. So we continue looking at it. Then one of the young ladies says, Pastor, I wanted to send you this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Have 50 chapters, 40 chapters, 27 chapters, and 36 chapters, and it's 153 chapters, which is the numerical value for the church. The 153 fish that get raptured, and Jesus meets them on the other side. So with these calculations, you're getting Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the church coming together, but only using 5782.
Right.
Okay? Now, so we said, wait, okay, let's add Deuteronomy to the equation as well. So we added all five books, and it was 5853. Then we minus this year, 5782. And you got 71 again, the Holy Spirit. You guys don't know enough about gematria, but I'm telling you, I sit and do stuff and I go, why would, who has time to do what you've done with this Bible. Lord, I mean, why would logos in Greek and virgin in Greek equal 888? Who's the logos? Jesus. Virgin is who? Mary. 888 is who? Jesus, right? So you're like, why would God make these two equal 888? And I did a whole gematria. I'll send it to you, but I didn't want you to print it up because I know you'll print it up. That's a lot of ink. So it's all of these things that God is doing. So this, we can say, oh, it's just a coincidence, or we can say it's something that God did on purpose. Okay? So, with only using the year 5782, do you get 888, Jesus? Only using the year 5782, do you get 71, the Holy Spirit, right? Only taking the first four chapters and the chapters, you get 153, which is the church, the 153 fish. Now, we have to sit here for the rest of the year and say, are we at the end or not? Because we know that 2021 passed. We know that Passover passed. The 17th of Nisan, is today the 20th?
Yes.
By this evening, it's done, okay? So if something happens tonight, forget everything I said. So we have all of this, but now if we go past even Resurrection Day, then guess what everybody's going to start saying? Pentecost. It must be a Pentecost rapture. Now you got some people going, oh, it's going to be May 16th because there's going to be a full moon. I don't go by that. If it's not biblical, I'm not going by it. So biblical is Pentecost because the first resurrection happened at the exact same time that God prophesied. The second resurrection happens at Pentecost because it's a wheat harvest. The third resurrection happens at the end of the tribulation because it's the fruit harvest. And then you celebrate the feast of ingathering or the completion of all the feasts because everybody who has eternal life is the feast of ingathering. Everyone's here. Okay? So the Bible is very specific in the way that it's telling you how it's harvesting the world. And if you don't understand that God is harvesting the world, you won't understand why there is a barley harvest, a wheat harvest, and a fruit harvest. Okay? Let me see what I can find on the next page. Oh, now, the other thing that was miraculous about that was that the only way that the numbers all fell into line, giving you the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the church coming together, was to find one verse that when they canonized the scripture, even they were confused. They were trying to figure out, should I put this with that or put them together? And so they, in 26, they had two first verses. And I'm like, well, that don't sound right. Then, so the scripture was the 19th scripture of Numbers chapter 25, verse 18. And then it was supposed to be a 19, but they just put 19 in the next thing and had one scripture. So one was missing. And the one scripture that was missing said, after the pandemic, after the plague, okay? So, any other year, that will mean nothing to us, right? But in 5782, it means everything, okay? So, as the body of Christ, you have to sit and go, okay, there's some very peculiar stuff here. All these numbers are absolutely incredible. What's going to happen? There's been no rapture yet. Will there be a rapture before Pentecost or on Pentecost? And so as we sit and we're waiting, the Lord already told me, you're done. I'm like, I'm not, like, meaning I have no more additional revelations to give you concerning what's about to happen. You know what's about to happen. You were called to do this. And this is what's going to happen. Now, this gives me a great opportunity to tell you guys a story. You see this ring I wear? Okay, this ring is for University of Colorado winning the national championship in 1990. Was I there in 1990? No. Their ring is gold and black. This is was made by a guy who sells college championship. I wear it for a purpose. This is the reason why I wear it. The coach that came in to be our new head coach, the other coach had been hired away by Donald Trump. He had bought a football team and he came, and I told you guys I met him. And so he took our first coach. This new coach came in. Now, the 2 years that we were under the other coach, we won a total, you know, you have what, 12 games each year? Or 22 games, we had a total of 3 wins. Okay, 1 year we had 1 win, and the next year we had 2 wins. And so we were considered, one time we were losing so bad it was 56-0 at halftime, and the coach told the players, we're not going to score anymore because out of respect for their program, right? So we were like,
oh, no.
We were the worst team in the league. This guy gets the new head coaching job. And he comes in and he says, you know, some things have to change around here. And he says, the first thing has to change around, we have to have character. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ sent me to this university to do a job. And he said, the job he has for me to do is to turn this program into a winning program. And he says, and there's the team that's the top team in this league is Nebraska. And Nebraska was not just top in our league, they were number one in the country. So he says, now listen, if you are on this team and you live with your girlfriend, she has to move out, because we will not have shacking up on this program, because this program is going to be blessed by God. So he said, if you're living with your girlfriend, either you got to move out and go home or she's got to move out. And then he says, and another thing, there'll be no more cursing in this locker room and in the training room. He says, if anyone better, so be careful of the words that you use. So I'm a born again Christian at the time. I'm looking at Ray Cohn, who's also a born again Christian, and we are happy. We like, we got us a Christian coach. This is going to be awesome, right?
Promise Keeper guy.
Yeah, and he ended up opening Promise Keeper. I was going to get to that. So anyway, he writes the Nebraska coach a letter, and he says, God has brought me here to do a special job. We are going to take over the Big 8 Conference, and we are making you our number one enemy. We're going to beat Nebraska. You're the number one enemy for our school. We're putting you on our list for every year. And every year he had Nebraska in red, all the other teams being black, and he had Nebraska in red because he says, that's the team we got to beat. The number one team, not in just in our league, in the country. And he says, this is what Jesus sent me here to do. So they have Bible studies before practice, and you know, he's talking about Jesus, and I'm like, this is crazy. This first year where he's there, I think we win 2 or 3 games. But, you know, we're not much different than we were. We didn't have talent. The next year, we won 4 games, okay? And he had never said anything good to me, okay? But we played Nebraska, and I won ESPN Player of the Game. And it was the first time he said, we need more players like that. He said, good job today. And I went, we played Notre Dame, okay? We played Notre Dame. And so we lost, but I won defensive player. I played one player of the game. I got the plaque still at home. And so now it's my time to graduate and move on. So from 1983 to 1990 is how many years? 7. They win the national championship. 7 years after, and who did they beat? Notre Dame, the team that the only compliment I ever got from them. They beat Notre Dame.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you how they got to there, because if they would have the referees accidentally gave them five downs when they were playing Missouri because they forgot to flip the thing over. And so with the fifth down, they scored a touchdown and were able to have a good enough record to play in the national championship. This is why I said God won this ring, not Coach McCartney.
Right.
You understand?
Bill McCartney.
Bill McCartney, okay? So then Bill McCartney has a great career at Colorado. He becomes national champion, Big Eight champion, and he's preaching the gospel. He's making the whole city of Boulder mad at him because he's telling them, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. And he was like that too. I mean, there are people that still say, you know, we didn't like him because he was just too dogmatic about his Jesus thing. Okay? So he starts Promise Keepers and it becomes one of the biggest ministries in the United States, okay? So I said all that to say this. When God calls you to do something, he doesn't call you to do something to fail, okay? When God called me to be a pastor and gave me Pastor Ben to be my partner, he did not call us into this to fail.
Amen.
I know that, okay? Now look, it didn't look like he was gonna be the greatest coach. He wasn't winning a lot of games when he first got there. So, but he paid it no attention. He knew God had told him something. I always say he's the greatest faith coach I've ever had because he came in and he declared what God was gonna do in the beginning,
yes.
Okay? Now listen, God did not call me and Pastor Ben to Soldiers for Christ to fail. The Lord told me today, if you called yourself, then you sustained yourself. That means when you were at the college and you had no place to go when they kicked you out, that you were able to find a place to go, or else I set a place for you to go. And the place that you went for a month and were able to have church there, then the money that you got to get into the building that you're in now, that means you made that money appear. But no, God had all of these people all of a sudden get these great blessings, and they wanted to help the church get a building.
Yep.
And we got this building with the meanest, worst owner that you could ever. This building, this guy hated church. He said, don't invite me to church. Just have my money on time.
Yep.
And I said, and so anyway, we ended up getting this church. So then God sustained us. Okay.
Yeah.
After 2010, Rapture didn't go through.
70% of the people left.
People were gone. So now we're trying to think, oh my God, we're in this church. We're like zillion times what we're planning at college. How are we going to do this? So we're thinking about, we got to move. We get a Spanish church and they come in and say, we're going to help you. If we can move in the building with you and we're going to help you, right? So God is setting all this up. Why? Because he knows he didn't call us to fail.
Amen.
He called us to be victorious.
Amen.
The end of my chapter in this is me standing on a cloud with a whole bunch of really cool people. That's the end of my journey here. God said, I've already given you the information for the rapture. You're already in the year. I've shown you everything from 2017 and how everything works out and how I situated everything, and you are here for that very purpose that I called you. This is what I want you to do, and it's going to be hard. I told you, you're done. I've given you the revelations. The rapture is going to happen, and the end of this is you standing on a cloud with some really cool people. So I'm not worried about that.
Amen.
What I do worry about is my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're under a great attack.
Yes.
You know what the great attack is? YouTube. You know why? 352,000 pastors and 99.9% of them called themselves to ministry. So now my brothers and sisters in Christ, I can't keep them off of it. Because
right.
Every day they're, let's see what this person has to say. And so they set up little traps for you. I'm hoping this girl, Jennifer, is not a trap because she's such a nice girl and these testimonies were so nice. Then all of a sudden, boom, she hits you with this 14 year tribulation. Jesus got to come and die again. guy on her show, and I'm like, wait a minute, is she part of it, or is she, or did she get, or she's deceived, or she doesn't know the Bible well enough? What's the problem there? Because there's a problem here. And I said, hey, the Lord is not pleased. You need to take this video down, and you need to, and you need to correct this, because you got born again believers listening to this guy, and he's a nut. Okay. Did I say nut? Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Like, who has ever heard the scripture about the sleeping church that gets raptured? There's no such thing in the Bible as a sleeping church. If you're sleeping, you didn't go. And if you didn't go, you're not a part of the church.
Right.
Listen, no, the awake church is going to go first, then the sleeping church is going to go second, in the middle after the sixth seal. Now, this is something that the guy is teaching, and I'm like, where does he get this foolishness? Watch this. You're in Revelation chapter 7? Now, watch this. We're going to start in verse 1. Okay? Now, watch this, because we know that in Revelation chapter 4, the church leaves. Okay? Let me tell you about the book of Revelation. You've got six seals that are going to be released. Okay? The six seals cover the whole tribulation. The six seals is not the middle of the tribulation. The guy that was on there today was saying, oh, the sixth seal is the middle of the tribulation. Okay? No, the sixth seal is the end of the tribulation. Okay? When he starts talking about the bowls, he's talking about things that are happening simultaneously. Okay? When he gets, I mean, the trumpets, but then when he gets to the bowls, that's the last 10 days of the tribulation. If you study the Bible, you know this. But if you're, I don't know, this is why I say I don't think he's that dumb. I think he's very demonic. Okay, watch this. It says, here, let's start in verse 9, okay? It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they carried and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Okay, who are these multitudes of people that are standing in heaven? If the rapture happened in Revelation chapter 4, who are all these people in white robes standing in heaven in chapter 7?
Right.
It's going to tell you, right? Let's let the scripture tell us who they are, okay? And Pastor being like, I know. Okay, it says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor, power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. He said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes with washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God to serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they be hungry. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor the scorching heat. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. You see that? The next trumpet that's going to be, the next seal that's going to be open is going to be the seventh. And the seventh seal, if you read chapter 8, the Yom Kippur service is happening in heaven. So that means Jesus is about to get on a cloud and come back. So the sixth seal is the end of the tribulation. The seventh seal is Christ coming back. So that's the whole tribulation. Then the book's going to start over with the trumpets. Now I'm going to tell you something that also goes on during the 7 years. It's not starting over a brand new 7 years. This is what he's telling them. Oh, there's the 7 years of the seals, and then you start a whole new 7 years with the trumpets.
Oh.
No, those simultaneously. The bowls and the trumpets, these are simultaneously being told the same story. But if you don't know scripture, somebody will tell you, oh, that's the first 7 years, and then the trumpets are going to be the second 7 years. Okay, watch this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 15. Now, we just read about a whole bunch of people standing in heaven, right? Now, watch this. Okay, no, chapter 14, verse 14. Let's read there first, okay? Now, I do have something to tell you, though. There is going to be a fruit harvest during the tribulation. There's going to be a wheat harvest before the tribulation, and there's going to be a fruit harvest at the end of the tribulation. But this is what we know, right? Where do we know this from? From the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy. You will gather your, meet three times in the city of Jerusalem where I tell, and you will not come empty-handed. And they would come with the harvest, okay? They would come with the barley harvest. They would come with the wheat harvest. And then the end of the year, they would come with the fruit harvest. This is how the world is being harvested. Okay. So it says here, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Is that a winnowing fork? Because in Matthew, it says when Jesus comes, he's coming with his winnowing fork and he will gather his wheat into his barn. Now he comes back and he has a sickle in his hand because he's harvesting fruit. You understand? Now watch this. It says, then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. This is the end of the tribulation. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle in his hand. Still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sickle and gather the clusters of grapes, is that fruit? From the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle over the earth and gathered the grapes and threw them in the great winepress of God's wrath. So you got the angels coming to do the judgment and the destruction, but you got Christ coming with a crown on his head, and he comes and he gathers the fruit that is ready to be taken at the end of the tribulation. And then the other angels gather the rest to be destroyed. And it says, and they were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle, a distance of 1,600 stadia. Now, 15 is the most important. I saw in heaven, after this harvest of these people, right? He says, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. seven angels with seven last plagues. Last because with them God's wrath is complete. I saw what looked like be a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing on the sea of glass, those who had been victorious over the beast. So how could they be victorious over the beast unless they were going through the tribulation? And his image, and over the number of his name. These people that are now in heaven have victory over the beast, his number, and his name. Okay? And now they're in heaven. You see that? This is the end of the tribulation. Now watch this. It says, they held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses. That would be a Hebrew song. And the servant of God and the song of the Lamb. That would be a Gentile song.
Yeah.
Okay? So you got both Jews and Gentiles being rescued at the end of the tribulation, singing the song of Moses and singing the song of the Lamb. Okay? So there is a fruit harvest at the end of the tribulation. So if someone says there's a rapture at the end of the tribulation, yes, there is. There's a fruit harvest at the end of the tribulation. But there's a wheat harvest before the tribulation even starts.
Amen.
Now they're standing on a sea of glass. In Revelation chapter 4, soon as John gets to heaven, what does he say? I saw seven lamps standing on a sea of glass as clear as crystal. It was at peace, calm. So the church is in heaven at peace, calm. This is equal with the bride that is taken in Song of Songs because her name means at peace.
Yeah.
So all of this is telling you the structure of what God is doing. So now, the book of Revelation is only an account of a 7-year period. There's no seven, and then we're going to start over with another seven. That is demonic teaching. Trying to teach people, even if you're asleep, you still get another chance. Well, they're not telling you what kind of chance you're getting, okay? And there's no such thing as a sleeping church. If you don't go into First Rapture, you are no longer the church.
Amen.
You're a tribulation saint. Because he has the chosen, the called, and the faithful. The chosen, Israel. The called, invited, the church. The faithful, those who keep the testimony of Jesus, even if they get their head cut off.
Right.
And guess what, Mr. Truth Revealed? Jesus is not going to be one of the people getting his head cut off so that he can die for all now. Because his first coming, he only died for the many. And then now he's going to come and he's going to be beheaded. But he's going to be beheaded for all. And then that's why you're going to get this other harvest. And you got another rapture. Now I wouldn't even bring nothing this up because we knew this guy was teaching this foolishness months ago. I just didn't think anybody believed it. And you go on his site, and he's got hundreds of people. What a wonderful teaching. This is incredible. We've never heard such teaching. This is new, great revelation. But see, we already been hit by our brother that there are demonic groups that are assigned to put out demonic material, and they have other people come in to write wonderful things so that, and they make their channels huge so that they can push this stuff, right? Yeah. So I know what's going on now. The deception is against you, against the church. Mm-hmm. I got people out here that are being paid to start channels to confuse you.
Yep.
That had that other lady, Brenda Welter, she looked like Aunt B. How could you not love her? Until you hear her teach. And then you go, oh my goodness, she's demonic. Because nobody could be that dumb. You wouldn't say anything that dumb unless you're demonic. Because she's making up stuff as she's going along, and she's making up all kinds of new scriptures and new things in her head. And I'm like, God, she looks like just a little nice little Aunt B, nice little lady, but she's got all these demonic scriptures that she's confusing. And people are sending it to me, and I'm like, dude, she's part of that group. This is a satanic group. She has satanic people coming in, signing in, saying she's a wonderful, awesome teacher and all of this stuff, okay? I don't know what to do with sheep because we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Yeah. We're not supposed to be fooled by every wind of doctrine. And this is a horrible wind of doctrine. It stinks. This is just bad. And you know, I just hope, because I really thought that this young lady had a great channel going, and I pray she still has a J. But if she doesn't take this down, I told her, God is not pleased. You take that down and you say, I recant from what was put on this show because that was not biblical. And I'm sorry that I gave him a platform to lie to God's people.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
That's it. We're going to pick up tomorrow on another study that the Lord gave me today. And we'll talk more tomorrow at Rashawn Messianic Bible Club. Hallelujah.